Welcome to another installment of the Black and Red Edge, the official podcast of the St. Cloud State University wrestling team. I'm your host, John Peterson. For episode number 3 of the Black and Red Edge, we'll be hearing from Minnesota State High School League wrestling coach and great, Neil Jennison. Neil coached 3 current and past Husky wrestlers in senior Travis Swanson, graduate assistant coach Travis Holt, and his son, former captain and All-American Clayton Jennison at Cambridge Isani High School. Neil first talks about his career as a wrestler and how his coaches instilled in him a mindset to win that later influenced him to become a coach himself. Neil talks about the journey as a high school coach and establishing his own philosophy in the wrestling room. We then talk about his time coaching Travis Holt and Travis Swanson and the enjoyment of coaching his youngest son, but still striving to keep the father and son relationship strong outside of the wrestling room. We end the podcast by hearing from Holt, Swanee, and Clayton about their experiences with their high school coach on and off the mat. Without further ado, here is the head coach of the Cambridge Isani Blue Jacket wrestling team, Neil Jennison. So, Neil, we'll start talking about your career as a wrestler. You are one of the most successful high school wrestling coaches in Minnesota State High School League history. But before we start talking about coaching and before we start talking about Travis Holt, Travis Swanson, and your son, Clayton, let's talk about the wrestling career of Neil Jennison.
Well, you know, no one's really put it in such a spotlight because I think back, I did not end up being a state entrant for Staples Cardinals. In fact, I had kind of a humble beginning in Sauk Center, although it was a great beginning because I remember Kenny Vogt talking to my dad. And if some of you don't know, Kenny Vogt was a longtime coach at Sauk Center. He was a good wrestler for Sauk Center and actually ended up in the Olympic trials way back in like 1972. So he was a good guy to get us excited about it, and he pulled me in. But our family made a big move from Sauk Center to Staples when I was in 10th grade. And so I got to wrestle for the legendary coach, Don Dravis. And I would say that's where, you know, I really got excited about the sport because I walked into a team that had already been state champions in 1978. So this was the 79 year. And I learned the sport fast with them. I was a good enough athlete where I could pick it up, and I was a backup behind Dave Sikora, who was already a defending state champ. But getting to wrestle him every day kind of really helped me develop into a better wrestler. And by the end of that season, Coach Dravis brought me along down to the state tournament. I got to actually wrestle for the team, and we were runner-up that year. My junior year, I was a starter, and we were state champions. My senior year, I was a captain and starter, and we were state champions again. But I had the unfortunate situation of tearing my ACL in football, and so I had to wrestle kind of through my senior year on one leg, and it didn't go quite as well as I wanted to, but I had done a few things in the off season to make myself better that year, and I was a freestyle state runner-up, and we used to do nationals like they do Fargo now, MinUSA or USA Wrestling juniors are held in Fargo. Back then we were in Lincoln. And I did All-American and Greco, of all things. And so I really picked up the sport in Staples, and then I went on to wrestle for U of M Morris for 2 years before landing at St. Cloud State. And I really felt all of that gave me a huge advantage because I learned from so many different coaches. And I guess advantage, I mean, towards being a coach myself. So anyway, yeah, that was kind of the Neil Jennison career. I did earn a starting spot at U of M Morris at 150 pounds my freshman year right out of the gate, but then I tore my other knee up and then kind of got healed, went to St. Cloud after I joined the National Guard, and I thought, well, let's give it one more try, and I suffered a lot more of those injuries, so it never really took off. But I wrestled several matches under John Oxton. Bob Boyk was there, and I actually got to help coach the team. And I was the athletic trainer for the team, and so I drove the cars to some of the meets, did a lot of different things working with the program. So anyway, it was a fun experience being a wrestler, and I loved it so much. I guess that's kind of what steered me towards coaching.
So let's talk about that. Going into coaching, you have over 550 career wins as a high school wrestling coach, and I think I just looked at the record book right now, and I believe you're at like 579, something like that, the second winningest active coach in Minnesota State High School League history. When you started coaching a little bit at St. Cloud State under John Oxton and helping out in whatever capacity possible, was that the calling, saying, I didn't go well for me when I was a wrestler with all the injuries, but coaching is something that I think will fit me well.
Yeah, I think that was there, and I do remember being at Staples in those state champion years, just gaining a lot of confidence that, you know what, we know what we're doing in this sport in Staples, and it's kind of showing. You know, Don Dravis was around doing clinics everywhere, and you know, he just gave us that confidence that what we were doing was pretty darn good and it worked. And so, yeah, when I started working with the people at St. Cloud State, I learned there was another way to wrestle and kind of blending styles. That was kind of fun to see that. And then, you know, John Oxton had a son wrestling at St. Cloud Apollo, Jeff, and they needed a head coach badly. And so I talked it over and I told John, I'll take over the St. Cloud Apollo program and bring everything you've taught me and Don Dravis taught me and Ken Vogt taught me. And when I was at Morris, we had Craig Olson teaching. And I picked up something from every one of those coaches that helped. And so already while I was still in college, I started coaching. I was the head coach at St. Cloud Apollo.
The one coach that strikes the number with me right off the bat, even though I know Coach John Oxton very well of helping out this program since 2012, but the coach right away is Don Dravis. I mean, that is a household name in Minnesota State High School League wrestling. If anybody knows wrestling, they know the legendary Don Dravis. So I would just like for you to talk a little bit about him as a coach, but at the same time, how has he helped you become a better coach?
Well, yeah, like I said, Don gave us all the confidence that, you know, this style can work. The on-the-mat style is what he really coached, provided you bring enough intensity. And he was so dominant with teaching cradles, and especially in particular the crossface cradle. But we knew how to do what we would call a false cradle. Some people call it a far-side cradle. And we got good with our near-side cradles and lots of just different ways of turning it. You know, so technically on the mat, I think he was one of the better coaches, obviously, of his time. But even over the years, I've taken all of the things I've learned from him, and I continue to teach that. And you know, obviously, you have to progress as a coach and morph into more things. And we've added to it, but I still teach a lot of what Don taught me. And I remember his passion and intensity all the way through, too. And I think that's something that just elevated us to another level. So Don inspired many coaches, and he wasn't conceited about it. He was always a humble man, and I've always enjoyed that about him. I still see him, you know, probably yearly, either at the coaches' clinic or when I go up to Staples. And it's just fun to chat with him because he's just a gentleman first, an amazing coach. And so, yeah, he really influenced me, I think. I saw what he did, and I thought, God, if a guy can make a living doing this, that'd be a great gig. So that's how he influenced me.
So you started at St. Cloud Apollo, then you made your way to the Cambridge Isanti Blue Jackets. And where did you see, when you made that transition, and we can talk about that a little bit too, but where did you find out from everything that you have been taught from your past coaches, knowing that what you have instilled in your own philosophy, when did you know that, this is working. My own way is actually working as a coach.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I got to add one more stop along the way. I actually left St. Cloud Apollo and helped out at Ricori under some amazing coaches, John Delosier and Jeff Mergen. And so I stole a few things from them, too, before I landed at Cambridge Isanti. And then getting to Cambridge, yeah, it was interesting because when we started out, the program had been on the top, and then they struggled to get numbers for a while, and that's when I walked in. And so there weren't a lot of kids, but there were some kids that were tough. And that's one thing I always say about our Cambridge Isanti kids, they were tough from the start. And I had kids like Walter Binger, Billy Binger, Chad Imker, Tracy Olson, you know, in the room, and Peter Blummer, Pat Torgerson, you know, all pretty tough kids with some rough and raw ready technique. You know, I learned early on, if you got tough kids, just about anything works, but then you got to kind of clean some things up. And so we worked hard at that. And it took me, I would say, 8 or 9 years where I felt like what we're doing now in the practice room is something I'd be proud of having everybody come and watch. But early on, we were just more rough and tumble than we were technical, but we were so dang tough sometimes we just won matches that way. And I think Luke Becker was kind of the one that brought our program more to the forefront, because not only was he physical, but he was so quick on learning wrestling. Technically, he picked up on everything I could show him, and it was fun that he went on more, learned more on his own, going to a lot of the freestyle tournaments, and we started bringing kids with him. And then, you know, that kind of brought us to that next level where, you know, you're kind of a top five team in the state every year, is where you kind of want to be. And so we were there for a while, and that was a lot of fun. But I would give a lot of credit to Luke and his influence on his teammates. And, you know, me, I put in a pretty good system, but you got to get buy-in. And I think it probably took us till about 1998, I would say, when I really felt like we were right there.
Was it harder to get to that point, or do you think it was harder to sustain it?
Yeah, that's another great question. And I would say a little of both. You know, we worked really hard to get there. And it was kind of fun to see it trickle out into the communities of Cambridge and Isani. They, you know, we started to develop a pretty positive reputation of not only being good wrestlers, but we started having kids excel more in the classroom too. Like, the majority of the kids are doing well there, and that's something that is always important within the school, because the other teachers, you know, they have a hard time supporting you if your kids aren't being good citizens and good students. And so I think we got the full buy-in, you know, at that point, and we got it to that level, and that was exciting. And then it sustained itself pretty well. I would say, you know, we kind of stayed up really at the top of the heap. And when I say that, what I mean is we could stay in the top 10 in the rankings and regularly have kids, you know, a team in the state finals and kids placing in state. And so felt really good about that. And so staying up there has been a challenge, because when you do it over time, you just run into those bubbles where some of the kids don't have the same physical talent as the ones before them. And then everyone else is knocking at your door, too. I mean, they know you've been doing well, and they want to knock you off. So staying up there has been just as much of a challenge, I guess, as climbing to that point.
We are talking to Neil Jennison, the current head coach of the Cambridge Isanti Blue Jackets, here on the Black and Red Edge, the official podcast of the St. Cloud State University wrestling team. This is episode number 3. Neil, before we start talking about the wrestlers that you have influenced throughout your years as a coach, I cannot go without talking about Tommy Campanero. I have enjoyed talking to him so much. I know that all of the wrestlers that I have met that have been a Blue Jacket in Travis Swanson, Travis Holt, and your son Clayton, they have all loved Tommy. He brings a different spark to it. I love his enthusiasm. When Tommy's there, everyone knows Tommy is there. So can you talk a little bit about how Tommy has been a great partner in crime?
Oh, absolutely. He's phenomenal. And you know, I have so many good coaches. I get to coach with my brother Jesse and one of my former wrestlers, Travis, and over the years, just many, many coaches. But every one of them, too, would agree that Coach Tommy Campanero is kind of one of a kind. He's very charismatic, and he's got an amazing whistle. He's in the room. He's always got that going, and the kids love him. And, you know, over the period of several years working together, I think we started in 95, we've developed a very fun, positive relationship, just a great friendship, you know, on and off the mat. And we just help each other out in all facets of life, and it's just been great. But the kids just, you know, they're drawn to him because of his positivity. And what he does for our program is kind of the little things behind the scene. Like, if we've got kids injured, he's working with them off to the side, keeping them going, keeping their spirits up, because it's a pretty lonely spot when you can't be with the team. You know, he's also making sure our managers always have the med kit ready to go. Behind the bench, he's warming the guys up before their matches, talking to them, stretching them out, cracking backs, back rubs, the whole works. And, yeah, it's been a real blessing. And like I said, ever since 1995, he's been working with the Blue Jackets, and it's been a good ride.
So let's gear towards the wrestler side of things here. We talked about some coaches, one of your fellow coaches, and the coaches that have influenced you as a coach. But let's talk about wrestlers here. Cambridge Isani. When everyone thinks of Cambridge Isani right away, me, I think of Luke Becker, and I think of Tony Nelson. But anyone in the St. Cloud State family knows Clayton, Travis and Swanee. Travis and Travis, but let's call him Swanee. So, let's first talk about Clayton. Clayton graduated a couple years ago. My goodness, I have been here since 2012, and it's hard to believe that Clayton is already gone. Clayton came in the first year that I came in, and he's been a color commentator of mine this past season. And one thing I will mention about Clayton right away is his knowledge for the sport. And I think it's because of you coaching Division I athletes and having the University of Minnesota being able to have camps in Cambridge every summer. The knowledge of wrestling between Clayton, Travis Swanson, and Travis Holt is tremendous. These guys know what they're talking about when they're talking about the sport of wrestling. And I believe that really go hand in hand with your knowledge and from what they had the exposure during the summer with the University of Minnesota. So first talk about Clayton and how he has just been a great ambassador of the sport.
Yeah, well, Clayton just seemed to love it. And I, you know, my son Matt and Amanda love the sport too, but I would say that he's always had this really competitive fire, and his brother and sister would own up to that because it seemed like whenever they used to get into fights at home, it was never over till Clayton decided it was over, even though they were getting the best of him because they're older. But as a three-year-old, he was chasing around the wrestling room. He went on the bus with me to meets, and he just grew up with the sport. And you know, he really took heed to what I was saying. There's a lot of right ways to do the sport. There's a lot of experts in the sport. I'm not the only one you need to listen to. There's a lot of good voices, and we can learn from everybody. And I think he took that to heart. And, you know, obviously we had a positive influence on him here in Cambridge with our coaching style, and I did as his dad and coach. But he learned from everybody. And he likes talking wrestling with everybody, and he's worked camps for people. He's worked the J-Rob camps, and he's helped you on the telecast, and he's helping Woodbury coach now. And so to your question about being an ambassador of the sport, he just loves it, and I guess it radiates out from him, and you can see it, and I know he wants to be back in wherever he can be. But, yeah, it was a treat watching him grow up with the sport, and like you said, I think he's a great ambassador to it.
Do you think your job as a coach changed once he hit high school?
It made it more interesting. You know, they get to have those rivalries on a team. And the one thing about being a teacher's kid and a coach's kid, people automatically presume that there's going to be favoritism. And so sometimes people and Clayton's teammates, some of them came with a little chip on their shoulder. We're going to show this little seventh grader that, you know, we're still tougher than them. And I guess that was an interesting dynamic. And in ways, it probably, you know, helped our team because it made people wrestle harder to prove that they were better than the coach's kid. But on the other hand, I don't know, it just toughened Clayton up too, and it was in the end all good. I think, you know, there's a level of maturity in high school that people grow through, and sometimes they're not all where they need to be. So I guess what I'm trying to say is Clayton had to take some lumps in the room being the coach's kid, but he handled it well. And he had good teammates, too, in the end, so it was all good. But, yeah, I was proud of how he handled all that. And as far as what I had to do different, I just was always careful not to make our whole life about wrestling, I guess. It was, you know, I had other interests, and I wanted the kids to have other interests, too. And they were all three-sport athletes. They were involved in music. You know, we took family trips. We didn't just do sports, and we saved our nickels up and made sure we had a cabin we could run up to and do that and get out on the lake. So I think we tried to make sure that, you know, although wrestling was important, it wasn't everything.
The decision to go to St. Cloud State. Now, I've talked to Clayton about this, and of course, you being an alum might have had a small reason why he came here, but what was the process like? Flashback to when you were talking to Clayton about which college to pick to continue his wrestling career?
Well, yeah, the decision kind of boiled down to this, because we were looking at different places, and Clayton was a quarterback on the football team and a safety, and he was an excellent football player also. Very good tackler. I never really figured out how he could make people go backwards with his skinny body, but when he hit people, it was a load, and he was good at it, and he loved it. And so he was considering football. and he was considering football and wrestling. And so we went and visited with all of those things, but it boiled down to this one thing: how good do you want to be at wrestling? And if you share time with football, then do you feel like your wrestling career will take off? Or, I mean, do you even really want to be a wrestler? Well, as he thought about all those things, we visited St. John, St. Cloud State, a couple others. We went down into the St. Cloud room the one day, and they had a team. We watched a really great practice, and it was Scala. We were watching Scala. We were watching Seamus O'Grady. We were watching Conk. We were watching all these guys just go and beat the crap out of each other, and it was an intense practice. And at the end, they huddled up, and they did word of the day, and they all yelled love. I looked at Clayton, I go, never seen that before in a college wrestling room. This many guys working that hard, beating on each other, and then they show a team love at the end. I said, this is a pretty special place, son. I said, and if you want to play football, I get how you might want to go somewhere else, but if you want to be a great wrestler, Coach Costanzo's got something special going on here, and I think this is a great place, but the decision is yours. It didn't take him long to figure out he wanted to be a great wrestler, and so that's kind of how it came to be.
Let's talk about Travis Holt and Travis Swanson here, too. They followed, and at the same time, they had their own personalities. They had their own way of doing things. And Travis Holt, now a graduate assistant coach. I've gotten to know him more and more throughout the years. And then Travis Swanson in his senior campaign. It really makes me feel old. I'm sure it makes you feel old, too, knowing that Travis Swanson is now a senior in his last year. Clayton is a coach himself, and Travis is a coach. First, talk about Travis Holt, and he has gone through some obstacles in his time here as a Husky, but right now he's doing a great job as a graduate assistant coach.
Oh, yeah, Travis Holt was just so much fun to coach, and he loved to be technical, and he was fast, and he was pretty athletic, too, and, you know, to put those three in, you know, in kind of a time frame together, Clayton and Travis Holt and Travis Swanson several times wrestled down in Rochester together at the kids' state tournaments. And so they all kind of got to know each other. And so that was kind of a cool thing. That was always the connection there. And they also had other teammates. It was just kind of a fun time to be a Blue Jack because everyone was doing pretty well at this stuff. And Holt just picked up on it. I mean, he came from a hockey family. I think it was a little bit of an aberration for him to be a wrestler because all of his cousins were into hockey. But I think they all admired how much success he was having. And I think what made Travis a really good wrestler was his hustle mentality. Like, he never backed off on the pace. He loved to keep a match going. He just had a fun style. He was always scoring points. I remember we went to a tournament in Cedar Falls, and on the way back we visited the Dan Gable Museum, and that was cool. But we saw this funk tape, Askren put it out. He loved his leg pass series, and we said, well, let's bring that home and figure that out. So in the mornings, we sat down in the wrestling room and we're working leg passes, and pretty soon he had all that stuff figured out. And so he had that crazy deal. And then it kind of morphed into this weird little tilt we saw him do at St. Cloud State several times. But in high school, we had St. Michael baffled with it too. He put Lincoln Malinger, their state finalist, on his back several times with it. And I remember John Thorne, one of their great coaches over there, going, I don't know what the heck he's doing. But I guess Travis was just an inventor of moves and had a lot of crazy stuff he did, and just passionate about the sport in every way. I mean, so, yeah, he was a lot of fun to coach, and I'm not surprised he's helping St. Cloud State now either, because he just loves the sport.
Travis Swanson, in his last year now, I mean, we're talking about the depth of St. Cloud State when we're talking about Travis Swanson. He has beaten some pretty tough kids this year. And when people are probably thinking, like, wow, St. Cloud State has another tough kid, and his name is Travis Swanson. And the reason why I bring up the depth is because, I mean, there's been really good wrestlers that St. Cloud State has had represent them at the regional tournament, but it hasn't been Travis Swanson. When I look at how well he has performed this year so far, I'm thinking, I'm surprised to see that why he wasn't a regional rep for St. Cloud State. But I forget, of course, he had quite the practice partners he's had as a Husky these last 5 years. And if anyone has improved throughout every single year he has wrestled, his name is Swanee.
He's just tough. I mean, if you ask Steve Costanzo about him, he'd say every time Swanee goes out on the mat, he gives you everything he's got. And that's the way he's always been. And Funny story about him. I remember in the Christmas tournament one year, we were wrestling in a tough match, and we got a blood timeout, and he comes over to me, and the fur was flying. They were wrestling hard, and so there's a blood timeout, and he comes over to me, and I go, hey, it's tough going good out there. You keep these things up. And he looks at me and says, that guy really smells funny. And I'm like, Swanee, how can you be thinking about stuff like that when you're in the middle of an intense match? But that's what always has made him so unique. He can have all of this stuff going on and just be into it at the same time. And I think that's why he was able to, even though he's sitting behind these guys all year, it wasn't always about winning. He's kind of loving the whole experience of wrestling. And he didn't always, because there was a time earlier in his high school career he didn't even know if he wanted to do it. And then he got into it slowly, and he didn't love practices so much, but he loved the competition. And then it was Holt and Clayton, I think, working with him his senior year that kind of convinced him, hey, you're good at this. Because he won freestyle state his senior year then after the state tournament. I think he finished fourth or fifth. High school tournament, and they worked with him and said, hey, you got this. I mean, you could come to St. Cloud and be with us, and they convinced him, and the rest is history. He just learned to really love the sport, and he's matured in the sport, and he's become really an impressive wrestler. He's not just a go hard, you know, try to tear your arms and legs off anymore. He's got some technique and speed and balance, and you know, where he's going right now, if he can be the starter at the end of the year, I could see him All-American. He's being an All-American. He's just that tough.
One last question here for you, Neil, here on the Black and Red Edge, the official podcast of the St. Cloud State University wrestling team. When I've talked to all three of these young gentlemen, they mention on how your coaching philosophy mirrors a lot to what Steve Costanzo teaches. Talk a little bit about on how you have gotten to know Steve and how you have still gotten to be a coach of all three of these guys when they have wrestled as a Husky.
Well, when I watch Steve, I do admire a lot of the things he does because I just believe in it. And we think the same way about, although winning wrestling matches is what we're all trying to accomplish, there's a lot more to the sport than that, and there's this process you need to follow. I mean, you need to be a dedicated kid, yeah, and you need to be technical, and you've got to be physical in the weight room, but you have to have a mindset of you're not going to give up, and you're always going to do your best, and you're going to be a good teammate. And I see all of those things happening at St. Cloud State, and that's why they're such a strong family, and that's why a kid like Travis Holt and Travis Swanson, even though they didn't get to be the starters all of the years they were there, probably could have went to a D3 school somewhere in All-American right away, but they stayed at St. Cloud because Steve has developed a family atmosphere, and I think that's special. And, you know, I'd like to think at Cambridge and Isani over the years, we've been a good family for the kids most of the time, and they value that too, and that's why they take so much pride in it. And I think Steve does a tremendous job of trying to promote the accomplishments of the kids and make them feel good about and take pride in all of the things they've accomplished, but do it in a humble fashion. You know, we take pride, but we're not going to be beating our chests over it. And so I admire that also. And I just think those types of qualities are the kinds of things that set people up to be successful adults in this world too. And that's kind of the ultimate mission, because we're just one stop in this person's life. And so I admire everything Steve's done. And I think the kids have seen we've been consistent with that in Cambridge too.
Senior Husky wrestler Travis Swanson says Neil has been a great coach to him since the beginning of his wrestling career and continues to give advice during his matches as a Husky. Swanee also talks about how Coach Jennison wasn't just a mentor on the mat, but off the mat, and educates him about the importance of obtaining a college degree.
Neil was a big part of our youth wrestling club when I was growing up. He watched me develop as a wrestler since I was in the Pee Wee division. My style of wrestling isn't very conventional, and Neil understood that, and he really helped me learn what was going to work best for me. He has an abundance of knowledge about the sport. A little fun fact about Neil's coaching career is that he has had an athlete graduate and continue wrestling in college for about the past 10 consecutive years. Neil's been an amazing coach in high school and through college. When I used to go to open tournaments as a freshman, I would look to him on what I should be doing, where I should go for positions. Even till this day, when he yells something, I can hear and pick out his voice. I had colleges contacting me in the early season. but St. Cloud didn't start recruiting me until early January. Neil was asking me throughout the year here and there about my thoughts on college wrestling, and I wasn't sure about it. I hadn't given it much thought. It wasn't until after the high school season was over that he really sat me down and talked to me about it. He was telling me that I could have a college degree, I could go and help get college paid for, continue my athletics. He knew I was a big competitor, so he gave me one of his famous hand-on-the-shoulder talks. If you ask anyone in high school who takes one of his classes, they know what the hand-on-the-shoulder talk is. And I have a lot to thank Coach Jennison for. He's the one who pushed me to go to college. If it wasn't for him, my wrestling career would have ended after high school. And without him, I wouldn't be 13 credits away from a college graduation.
Graduate assistant wrestling coach Travis Holt speaks about the influence Neil had on his college decision and how his coaching philosophy is similar to Steve Costanzo's. He also touches on the mentality Neil instilled in his high school career that carried throughout his 5 years wrestling as a Husky.
Neil's impact was pretty big because of, I guess, the way his coaching style mirrored Coach Costanzo's style. They're both that kind of coach where if you do something wrong, they're not going to scream at you the whole time. They're going to sit you down, make you feel almost disappointed. It's kind of like that father figure kind of feel. I think that's really neat at a coaching standpoint. So yeah, I think that was really important. Not necessarily how just because St. Cloud Wrestling was the top five every year in the country, but Neil had a very similar coaching style to Costanzo, and I knew that Neil's style had worked for me in the past through 6 years or whatever high school wrestling, so I knew it'd be a really smooth transition to that college feel. One of Neil's mottos is NGU, which is never give up. You know, he has a couple things like that, and when I came to St. Cloud, I was getting my butt kicked every day for the first year, and that's kind of just something that you keep in the back of your mind. You know, never just keep coming back and learn from it. Whether you know you got taken down 50 times in a day or you were taking someone down 50 times in a day, you had to be able to adapt and adjust your wrestling and keep moving forward. Every day isn't going to be your best day. You just got to keep working and good things will happen to you.
Husky Wrestling All-American and alum Clayton Jennison explains he got the best of both worlds, a great coach in the wrestling room and a great father at home. He also talks about the guidance Neil gave him when making his college decision, and no matter when he was a college wrestler or now as a high school wrestling coach, his dad will always be a coach.
You know, growing up, getting to wrestle for my dad, it was a huge privilege for me. You know, he always treated me in the wrestling room like another one of the wrestlers. But whenever we went home, he was dad, you know, and that was something, you know, I really appreciated. I know in some scenarios there's cases where, you know, dad's the coach, and when you get home, dad's still the coach, and that's all you want to talk about is wrestling. But, you know, he was always dad at home, and, you know, he was always focused on wrestling when we were in the room together, and then we kind of left it that way, which was, I think, probably healthy for me growing up and probably part of the reason why I was able to love wrestling so much and wanted to do it when I got to college. We have always had a great relationship. But when I got to college, when I was choosing a college, you know, I kind of looked to him and my mom, you know, to kind of point me in the right direction. I wasn't exactly positive in what I was looking for. And I think, you know, having that trust in him and my mom to go to St. Cloud, you know, they were really impressed with Coach Costanzo and the program he had built and was running. And, you know, once I got here, he continued to, you know, always be dad. But at wrestling tournaments, anytime he saw a flaw in something I was doing, you know, he'd point it out and help me out. And, you know, always trying to help me improve as a wrestler and always helping me try to, you know, be in the best position in life as well. So, you know, he's always done an awesome job of that. And now that I'm coaching, you know, he's got different ways of talking to me about, you know, how he's had success coaching his wrestlers and pointers and things that he thinks I can do to help my wrestlers have success. So he's always coaching.
That will do it for another installment of the Black and Red Edge, the official podcast of the St. Cloud State University wrestling team. To listen to past episodes of the podcast, visit scsuhuskies.com and click on the wrestling page. For all the up-to-date news and results for your Huskies wrestling team, visit our Facebook page at SCSU Wrestling and follow us on Twitter at @SCSUHuskies_WR. The Black and Red Edge is recorded and produced at the studios of KBSC in the basement of Stewart Hall on the campus of St. Cloud State University. Until next time, I'm John Peterson saying so long from the Black and Red Edge, the official podcast of the St. Cloud State University wrestling team.